This is a spiritual reading being given on Saturday the 15th of February 2025 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. We stand within the Hall of Memories. The Book of the Soul is given into our hands. The Book of the Soul, Marian, is a metaphor. It represents all the incarnations that the soul has entered into since it first came into physical incarnation, hundreds of thousands of years ago. The Book of the Soul, as I perceive it, as I hold it, has three distinguishing characteristics. First of all, the cover is the colour blue. An interesting colour for the soul to inhabit. It brings great challenges and also great possibilities, as blue is the colour of spirit, colour of God, if you like, and indicates that the soul has within it an inner urge that from life to life will direct it to find truth through spirituality, perhaps through religion, perhaps through philosophy, perhaps through other means, but there is an energy within the soul that says, I am not a physical being, I'm a spiritual being. Or as it was said, I'm not a physical being on a spiritual journey, I'm a spiritual being on a physical journey. That's the understanding of blue, that this world that we inhabit and we enjoy and we hate and we fear and we long for, it's just a short sojourn in the world of spirit. And when it's completed, when the purpose of this incarnation and this physical world is completed, then we return to our real home. And so sometimes people who have blue strongly within them experience an inner homesickness, and it's not something that's easy to quantify or bring to the surface. It's just that no matter how successful one is within the world, with one's relationships, with one's family, career, etc., there's something underneath that says, this is not what it's all about. Difficult colour to live with. Then, in the middle, or the centre of the book, is the image of a white swan. It sails from left to right. The swan is the image or the emblem of beauty. But it's not beauty that occurs without struggle. It's the beauty that comes at the end of a long process of growth and development. Takes a long time for most of us to turn an ugly duckling into a beautiful swan. And the swan swims from left to right, which is from the unconscious into consciousness. And it tells us that your lives, you're always swimming in some respects against the current, because what you want is not quite what the world wants. And we will see examples of this in some of the past lives. And finally, the book has a title on the front cover. And the title, as I see it, is in Greek. It's the word pistis, which we would normally translate as faith or belief. But it means someone who is motivated by faith within their soul. But faith is the knowledge of things unseen, the inner knowledge, and the understanding that one can move from the unseen, the unheard, into the seen and the heard. And that probably sounds very abstract, but it does have a meaning for the way in which you live, not just previous lives, but also this life. If I were to put it in a simplistic form, I would say that that word means never give up. Never let yourself be distracted by the views and the opinions of others, but keep moving towards the goal that you perceive. We open the book and it opens to the current incarnation, where the soul depicts itself in a couple of ways. On the right hand side, it depicts itself in the colours of the aura. And on the left-hand side, sometimes we can see words or sentences or phrases that define the life's purpose. So we will focus first of all on the aura colours. And I'll describe the aura as I perceive it at present. And the aura does change from time to time, but nevertheless, the basic colours remain stable over a long period of life, usually. First of all, I would say that the aura has an upward spiral sweep in it, which indicates that the individual is on a spiritual path or on the spiritual path. There's really only one spiritual path with many different frameworks. But spiritual path is towards higher consciousness. I think there's been times in life where you've been ridiculed for what you believe or the way you understand life. I think sometimes people have probably told you that you're too innocent, that you should have your feet on the ground more. You probably will experience in this incarnation, or have experienced, people trying to take advantage of you because they think that you don't understand or perceive what's going on, which is really a bad mistake, because you do perceive. You may not always choose to take action, especially confrontational action, but the fact that you sometimes allow people to take advantage of you, rip you off, if I can put it that way, doesn't come from not seeing, but comes from seeing more deeply that actions other people take in order to gain more out of life or in order to build themselves up, in the end are hurtful to them. So there's a sort of an inner wisdom there. And I think what I should say is that you are associated with the mysteries of Isis, which come from deep in the past of ancient Egypt and represent the strength of the feminine, which is the ability of the feminine to be faithful, there's that word, to love, without regret, to hold others in care and nurture, and to be receptive . We'll begin with the aura colors, or the first aura color, which is a light rose pink. And the first color is to do with what we would call the etheric body, or the body of life, the vital body. And the best color, to be quite honest, for the vital body, the energy body, is light red. Light pink indicates certain health problems throughout the life, to do at times with losing one's energy, being fatigued, having to fight against the flow. Sometimes you feel very weary in life, as though life had overburdened you with decisions that you wouldn't want to make, or with conflicts or dysfunctional relationships with people close to you. Hopefully that's not your family and your children, although show me a family that doesn't have some dysfunctional relationships and I'd say, well, this is your last incarnation, because that's perfection. And we don't incarnate because we're perfect. If we're perfect, we wouldn't come into incarnation. No, we incarnate in order to move a little bit closer to perfection. So we choose the family, for example, that will help us. So there's a really simple answer to your second question, why was I born into my family? It's because your family that you were born into were going to help you a little bit more along that road to perfection, and we'll come back to that. But the light rose, if you have this as your first colour, makes you very intuitive, but very sensitive and sometimes oversensitive. Also very artistic, we'll come back to that. The second colour, interesting, because of what I have here is sort of two colours, but the first colour, the second colour, the real second colour, is a light yellow-brown, which is what you need, by the way, if you've got light rose as a first colour. Whereas light roses feet up, head up in the heaven, light yellow brown is feet on the ground. So it indicates that you might be able to take that sensitivity, that understanding of beauty that is in the light rose, and turn it into a business, or turn it into something that creates a stable life for yourself. There's an interesting incarnation, and I think it's in France. The 1780s, 1790s, and you're in a female body here. You are. I'm not sure what the word is. It's not couturier. It's not. It's sort of like a dress designer, but it's more. You're more like a person who advises someone else on how to dress their best and look their best. And in this incarnation, you were this advisor to Queen Marie Antoinette. So you would be there in the morning when she got dressed, and you would supervise the servants, and you would advise her what to wear and what jewellery to put on, and how to look most elegant. Um, So you had a developed sense of beauty and style. You could have used that in this incarnation, for example. You could have gone into the fashion world or been someone who advises others on how to create beauty in a realistic and a realistic and down-to-earth sense in order to promote brand quality or in order to create an image. If you've been born a few years later, you probably would have been an internet influencer by now, but I think that's another life. Now, I'll go back to that life where you were an assistant to Marie Antoinette, because Marie Antoinette, of course, was a victim of the French Revolution. She was guillotined. She lost her head, literally. Now, it's interesting that that soul was the soul who, in this incarnation, was your husband's soul. So he had been, in his previous life, a French queen. And that might have given him some very interesting characteristics. For example, he might have been quite demanding and autocratic at times, but also he'd fear to go too far, because Marie Antoinette went a bit far in that incarnation, and she antagonized the mob, the people, and that's why she was killed. When something physical happens in one life, then in a later life, it tends to repeat on a different level, on a mental level, so that whereas Peter, as Marie Antoinette, lost his head physically, in this incarnation, he lost his head on a mental level. And in spiritual terms, dementia actually means a cutting off from the energies of the spiritual worlds, because the spiritual worlds, spiritual energies enter into us all the time. But we have to be open to that. And if we live a life where we become dogmatic and autocratic and opinionated, then we seal our own spiritual energy system so that no longer can the energies from spirit enter in and renew the energy body, which then renews the physical body. But in this incarnation, you were looking at, oh sorry, in the previous life in France, you were looking after Marie Antoinette, but in this incarnation, your husband would have had to look after you in some sense. So perhaps he was the main provider, and perhaps he wanted to be in charge of a household. He might have brought that one in him, because Marie Antoinette certainly wanted to be in charge of things, but she didn't have much clue about reality. So you might have been there to advise your husband from time to time and say, "Well, look, darling, why don't you look at it this way? Or why don't you think of it like this? Or why don't you try this with that person?" So that you might have been the more diplomatic person, and you could have helped him in his own life and relationships with other people. Third color, blue. And blue is sort of bleeding into the yellow brown, which is a difficult thing. It means that part of you, that practical side of you, is starting to dissolve away, which is got good and bad things to do with it. The difficult thing is that it will make it more difficult in the next few years to be practical about things. The blue, as it comes in and enters closer to you and starts surrounding you more, that blue whispers to you from spirit, and you will feel the call of spirit more and more strongly, I believe, as the years go on. Blue is a spiritual, religious colour, also interestingly connected with drama, and in the 17th century, 1600s, you were an actor, you were in a male body, but you were an actor and performed in plays by people like Shakespeare and Ben Webster and all the playwrights of the day, and you often played women's roles because it was a time when women weren't allowed on stage, so you often played feminine roles and you could speak with your voice more highly pitched, but you had a really, really good dramatic sense. It's interesting because you had a lot of sex in that life. But blue is not normally associated with sex, and so there tends to be a swing. If as a person with blue in your aura you have a lot of sex in one life, then that pendulum swings the other way around. And it's interesting that you had an incarnation in Morocco, Northern Africa, in a convent. I'm told it's a Dominican convent, but I didn't know that Dominicans had convents. I thought they were all monks. But anyway, in this convent in Northern Africa, and you are, as I see you, you are Mother Superior. And it's interesting that your children there were amongst the nuns that you supervised and looked after. And you had, as Mother Superior, it wasn't all prayers and devotions and reading the Bible and meditation and confessions. No, there was a lot of politics involved. And you had to be the spokesperson for the convent and sort out, be the ambassador secular world, in one sense, which was, that is, you had to organize all the bargaining and the trade exchanges that the convent would make. You would oversee the buying of supplies, and you were a great overseer and a really good manager in that incarnation. As I've said, three of your children were in the convent. And that would be interesting because there were three quite different personalities. And one was very rebellious. It was the youngest one. Very rebellious and didn't want to be there, actually. And there was another who liked routines and keeping things organized and was a bit literal. like to have I's dotted and T's crossed. And the third was more like a sort of a big sister to you. She was a bit like a mother hen, and she would gather other people under her wing and help them with their personal problems. And you died from that. That incarnation was from the last part of the 19th century into the early part of the 20th century, and you died in 1910. So then you were in the spiritual worlds for quite a long time. And when the soul's in spirit for a long time, then it has a chance to plan out its next incarnation more precisely. So when you came back into incarnation, you chose your family not just from the mental and moral psychological lessons that you could learn, but you chose them for the biological genetic makeup that they could give you. So that would mean that the soul wanted to have certain physical attributes. So it chose the parent, chooses the parents for that. Continue with the aura colours. From the shoulders, more light pinks. It's really interesting because the light rose is not an easy colour to create a life with. It gives great intuitive abilities and indicates that at times spiritual vision opens up. Such a person can be really psychic. They can sometimes have very vivid dreams or very vivid waking experiences that indicates that they are able to listen to spirit talking. The spirit is speaking to us all the time. Spiritual worlds are trying to communicate with us, but mostly we're very good at ignoring these communications. Incarnation in the, I think, the 2nd century AD. And here we see you as a priestess in the temple of Isis in Seleucus. You you were celibate in that life, by the way, and you were also a sort of an oracle, that people would come to the temple and you would enter the presence of the goddess and communicate with the goddess and then come back and give people the answers to their problems or advice, or sometimes you would give remedies to people, medical, astrological, alchemical, they're all mixed together really, remedies. So in this incarnation, you may find that your people come to you for advice, and perhaps too for health advice, and you would probably be more attracted in this incarnation to complementary medicine, traditional medicine, rather than modern allopathic Western medicine. In that incarnation, you grew flowers as well, or you had a garden where you grew flowers and herbs. So in this incarnation, you need to be surrounded by beauty, especially by the beauty of growing things, of plants. And sometimes it's good to get away into nature, for example. It'd be ideal if you lived in the country. I'm sure that's not always possible. But to make sure that you have time by the sea, time in amongst beautiful plants and bush, so that the etheric body, the energy body, gets to recharge. Greens within the head. Green represents change, and when one has green in the head, which represents the thinking capacity, it can indicate quite a wide range of things, and indicates, for example, a high level of fantasy. So you, in some stages in your life, you may have told some very interesting stories to people that might not have quite been grounded in fact. But it also indicates that one has the ability to heal through the thinking, through the communication. Incarnation in Egypt about 3,000 years before Christ, where you were again a priestess in the temple, but it was a healing temple, and healing was done in a different way. It was more directed towards the etheric body, the energy body. And you would work with others in a lot in terms of healing with sound, so that you would ring a little bell, or strike a little bell, actually. You didn't ring it, you struck it with a little hammer to produce particular frequencies that would raise up the energies of the sick person. And that gives you a connection also with music, that it's really healing for you to have music in your life. Be lovely if you could sing when you get the opportunity. But because the green is mainly in the head, it indicates to me that listening to music can be really helpful and really clarifying for you at times. Incarnation in Bali in the 17th century, I think, in a female body, and you were a dancer. You had little finger symbols on your hands, and you would keep the rhythm and the times with the time of it as you danced, and the music was instruments like xylophones or marimbas. It was very rhythmical. So again, movement and having rhythm in your life is very important. The vortex, as we see it, is orange, and the vortex is the energies that are entering in from spirit, which will direct your consciousness or fill your consciousness in the years to come. And when our consciousness changes, our life changes also. There are a couple of images in the aura. On your left side, not directly to the left, but sort of diagonally to the left, is a crusader knight clad in armour leaning on a white shield with a red cross on it. That image represents certain energies from the past which need to be brought into consciousness in order to release them so that they can you can move on. In front of you is, in the aura, is a lily pool with water lilies in it. And on the right side is a lighthouse standing on a small island in the middle of the sea. And these images represent energies, if you like, that will open certain aspects of life up to you. Symbol of the over-self hovers about 3 to 4 inches above the head, and the symbol of the over-self, Marian, is the communication from the real self, the I am, the Christ self, whatever you would like to call it, spark of divine, the divine. It's the most sacred part of ourselves and represents the processes that the soul is working with at present. And the symbol of the over-self, as we see it, is a small one-engined biplane, sort of a yellowish colour, taking off. And that indicates where your life should be going in the future. But we'll come back to that. There are cosmic colours, yes, above the head, light blues. And below the feet, hard to describe, a sort of a very deep red, not a dark red, but a deep red, might almost have browns in it. The cosmic colours do not belong to your aura, but they are gifts from spirit, indicating abilities and insights that are coming towards you. So the light blue, which is above the head, tells us that there is a certain level of spiritual enlightenment that is going to dawn gradually over the next 7 or 8 years. And below the feet, the deep reddish brown, means that you may have to take certain steps in the next 7 years, perhaps to relocate, to move to somewhere that is more practicable for you. So if there's a movement, it's because of a practical need and necessity. We'll come back to the first colour. The first colour tends to have the greatest effect on who we are and how we develop. So to have the first colour as light rose means that you should live in such a way that that intuition and that sense of beauty and that insight is able to flow into your life. And as I've indicated, sometimes that light rose has visionary experiences associated with it. And sometimes it's just means that you get irritated more easily because it's such a sensitive thing that the energies of other people can sort of rub against it, if you know what I mean, and make you feel out of sorts and make you feel pushed sometimes by other people because you feel their energies coming at you. But I think what you've been able to do is achieve a sense of equilibrium in your life, and you've come to be at peace with who you are and what you've done. We can all look back on our lives and say, oh, I wish I'd done that differently. But the fact is that if we are honest with ourselves and if we've lived in an honest way, then we did the best we could with the knowledge we had at the time. So therefore we need to be at peace with ourselves. And you're coming towards a very significant decade. Mind you, the 70s are very significant. Congratulations. And the 70s are a time when the individual decides, makes a decision. And the decision is usually based by what they did in their 60s. So if you were flowing in your life and accepting and loving and open to new things in your 60s, then in your 70s you will consolidate that. Because the 70s should be the age of wisdom. And this is when we look back on our life and discover what wisdom life has developed within us. We don't come into this life wise. Wisdom is like a seed, like a mustard seed, Jesus said, that when it grows, it becomes enormous and reaches up to the heavens from a very little seed. And this is what should be happening in the 70s, that the seed of wisdom should be growing. And as Jesus also said, then birds come and sit in its branches, which really means that you have all sorts of insights and understandings, and they're the sorts of things that people can help people out. So this is the time in your life when you can be a real help to other souls, when they can come to you with their problems and their troubles, and you should have the understanding and the insight to assist them with this. And of course sometimes the greatest wisdom is to say nothing, but I'm sure you understand that. So what happens when one gets to the end of the 70s and one embarks into the 80s? Well, strangely enough, the 80s are the decade of revolution. And people, when they reach their 80s, often change quite markedly. If they have lived a life in the 70s where they've allowed themselves to develop and to develop the wisdom self, then when they reach the 80s, quite new energy and a quite new impulse can enter in, and you may find that gifts from previous lives start to flourish, gifts that you perhaps thought you never had. Had an interesting life in the 14th century in a male body this time, where you were an artist in Italy. As I see you, you're in Florence and you're working for the, I think it's the Medici family. But anyway, you're working for very wealthy families and you're really good at providing what they wanted. You were not particularly progressive. But mind you, it wasn't a good thing to be progressive because at that time everyone was looking back and trying to be classical. And so you could paint portraits and beautiful ornate architecture and backgrounds and I think you were more famous for the way you painted the buildings than you were for the way you painted the people. So never say never. You may always be able to pick up a brush and paint again. Yellow brown colours. Well, they come from associated with them, it's not that they come exactly, but associated with them, is an incarnation in China in about the 4th century. And you were a sort of a chemist that you would make medicines for the doctors, and they were herbal medicines, so you would grow and gather them from the wild and you would pound them up and pulverize them and create dust powder, and you would mix them, and the mixing had to be very precise, and then you would give the recipes and the prescriptions to the patient. So the doctor might prescribe something, but you were the one that prescribed the dosage. It's interesting because it means that you could organize things in a very down-to-earth way when you needed to. You should have enjoyed cooking in this incarnation, by the way, because that's another correlation with the yellow brown. You should have been able to produce beautiful food. Incarnation in Greece. About 500, 600 BC. You're a young man in this, as I see you in this incarnation. And associated there with the philosopher Plato. He was quite old when you met him, but you followed him around everywhere and you assisted him when he couldn't see very well anymore. You would write some of the dialogues out at his dictation. You also wrote letters for him, which were communicated to other people around the ancient world. But it's interesting that being with a great spiritual being like Plato, you gain something from that being, just by being with them. And what you gained was a star. And it might sound very strange, but Plato said that our souls came from a star. Each soul had its own star, which, of course, human beings have forgotten about. But being with Plato, who had immense spiritual vision, you reconnected with your star. That is your spiritual heritage. And from that point on, you would come into incarnation with certain memories. And the greatest memory is the memory of our spiritual home. And from life to life, that star, that knowledge, that insight has guided you. And it's guided you through some really difficult moral quagmires at times. And there must have been times when you couldn't, it was so dark in your life that you could hardly see to put one foot in front of another. But that's when the star comes along and says, no, there is light. There's always another step we can take forward. So the star represents hope. And if you have that within yourself, then it means that you can encourage and transmit that hope to other souls. The image in the images in the aura. Well, the first one, the Crusader Knight, represents a past life where you went off to fight in the Crusades, and this is the end of the 11th century, beginning of the 12th. Young man, you just married. It's interesting that the person that you married then was your husband in this incarnation. So there's quite a connection between you and your husband. But you left him. You left her, I beg your pardon. You were the male, she was the female. You left her, and you went off and you fought in the Crusades, and you fought for Christ. You thought you were doing the right thing. And you died. You were killed. And your widow was treated very badly by the family. And she was treated very badly because of your death, your departure. Now, I do hope that the reverse didn't happen in this life, that when your husband died, that family treated you badly, because you don't deserve that. But you can see that, whereas in that life as a crusader, you went away and you died and left your husband. And in this incarnation, he's gone away from you and he's passed on and left you to look after things. But this incarnation is a balancing of that karma, so that the relationship at the end, even though it would have been very difficult, there should have been a chance to express love within that relationship. And it's when we can express love to another soul that karma is dissolved and never needs to be resolved after that. The image in front is a beautiful pool, little pool with in a little artistic rock setting with water lilies in it. Indicates where you should be at present in your consciousness. That is, that you should be at ease with self. You should be allowing the beauty that was in self, that's the water lilies, to gradually come into bloom. And that will happen in the next 3 to 4 years. There's a greater blooming of the artistic impulse, the impulse towards creating beauty in the world. And then the image on the right hand side, the lighthouse, this is for the future. It indicates, because the lighthouse is on a little rocky island, it probably indicates that you'll retreat more into yourself in the next few years. But that as you retreat into yourself, you find greater insight and you're able to shed light for other people. It's as though you can give advice to other people on a bigger scale, a much wider scale, that you can light up the lives of other people. The symbol of the over-self, the little aeroplane taking off. I love that symbol. It's full of energy, it's full of life, and it's full of adventure. You know, I think you should travel in the next couple of years. Just take off. Just go to places that you've wanted to or thought about, or that you feel a connection with. And do it in the next couple of years, because the way the world is evolving, people won't want to travel back to Europe and to India and to other countries very soon. So, time to take off. And perhaps you've experience that when you reach your 70s, the world tends to look at you and say, oh, you've had your life. It's just go and vegetate, or go and sit in a cave, and just stay out of our way and leave the world to us. But actually, the 70s, especially if we have looked after our physical body, but our 70s can be an era of great achievement. Never stop exploring. Never stop adventuring. Never stop holding to the faith of who you are. There is greater understanding coming in the next 6 or 7 years. And this understanding will deepen your spiritual understanding. It will widen your spiritual perspective. It will open your spiritual eyes. It will change the way in which you see yourself. Because of that, it will change the way in which you see the world. And at the end of this survey, Marian, I think you have a mission and a task to express the qualities of the feminine. Your very name, Marian, has an association with Mary, of course. And the way of the feminine is not an easy way, because it's about yielding, it's about surrender, it's about surrounding, it's about embracing, it's about bringing to birth, it's about nurturing, nourishing. And what the feminine does is it always sees the best, because what mother sees anything but the best for her children? And so if you can encourage others to see the best, to look for their own star, to look higher, to look more broadly, to look more deeply within themselves, and to see the world as a place of beauty and wonder, as well as a place of struggle and terror, into manifestation, then you still have a lot of work to do, but it will be a blessed task, and blessed are you. So shall it be.